Good afternoon. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to the book of Song of Solomon. Our preaching remarks will be in chapter 2. I will say, Brother David, I thought that I was also a visitor, and I am a minister, and I was not in concurrence with the request. Brother David, y'all don't know how long it's been since I went to a church meeting, and number one, felt relaxed that I wasn't going to get used. And number two, actually was able to eat most of the stuff on the table because me and my wife said, no restrictions today except for gluten. And I had a good old heaping plate in front of me, and Brother David just put his gentle hand on my neck and said, you're going to preach for us, and just turn around and ran off. And didn't even hear my one-word response. Why? But please pray for us. Get all the levity out of the way. Please know that I sincerely beg you that you would pray for us, that the God of all mercy, all grace, all love, that he would bless us with his spirit, that the remainder of this service would be blessed by him, and we'd be able to learn a little bit about the Lord, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be built up, and that we'll just want to sacrifice our life more to him. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I'll start off with the Song of Solomon to go ahead and tell you that it's a love story. It's a love story, and I'm going to tell you the characters in this love story are the two greatest characters there are. It's the King of Kings and Lord of Glory, Jesus Christ. And the only one that's ever going to be like him, his bride. Because we're going to be like him in glory. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of him, to the image of his son in glory. But it's the two greatest characters you can get. And it starts out and it's talking about this love story. And if you're not sold from reading the Song of Solomon, if you're not sold on the fact that it's talking about, that this love story is talking about Jesus Christ and his bride, let me tell you something. Let me give you some describing things about this husband here. The husband, not only is he a husband, he's a king. Not only is he a king, he's a shepherd. Right? Not only is he a shepherd, he's her brother. If that's not Jesus Christ, that's just weird. Okay? I mean, how many shepherd kings do you know? Right? Jesus Christ. How many brother, husband, kings, shepherds do you know? Jesus Christ. And he's altogether lovely. There ain't one thing wrong with him. That ain't a king of this earth. That's the King of Glory, Jesus Christ. And you know how I know that bride is talking about you, talking about me, talking about the bride of Christ? Because she's black. And by the way, that's not talking about African American. And by the way, we're not white, okay? We're peach. We're not white. We're not white. And the reason I say this is because the black here represents sin. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that if you're not a white person, then you're a bigger sinner because you got a dark complexion. This ain't talking about the complexion of your skin as being peach and brown, okay? This is talking about black is meaning our sin. And the reason she's black, you know what it says about her? I'm black because of the sun. You know why she's black? Because she's been out in nature. You know what we are by our nature? We're black. We're sinful. We're disgusting. I'll tell you a funny story about the white and black thing. I was working in a hospital in Kosciuszko when I pastored a church in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, and we were having our annual meeting, and I was inviting folks at work to come to our annual meeting, and some of them that I worked with were African American, and I invited some of them, and they came, and we had a wonderful time. And one of my managers says, white person ain't never invited me to church before. Thank you, Danny. I said, it don't matter about black and white. I said, the only color that's going to matter in heaven is white. And I thought about it, I said, No, what I mean is, we're going to be white as snow. I'm going to tell you, the white that like Brother James was was talking about. But the joke was for the rest of the week is Danny's the only way we're going to be in heaven. And they love me. They knew my heart, so nobody got offended. But here this blackness is talking about is a representation of sin. But what I want you to understand, the reason we know this bride is talking about God's people, because even though it's telling us by her nature, she's saying, I'm black because the sun pissed me. The sun has touched me. Nature has made me thus. By our nature, we are the children of wrath, even as others. Amen? But you know what we are? We're just as her. She says, I'm black, but I'm what? I'm comely. You know what that means? I'm beautiful. She says, nature has corrupted, has burnt my skin. And I'm going to tell you, our sin nature has corrupted us and made us look like that putrefied person that Brother James was talking to us about. But the blood of Christ has made us white as snow and has made us sparkling and glistening in the sight of God. Isn't that beautiful? I tell you, the only brides that I know that are black with comely is the bride of Christ. There's more proof, and I'm not going to go into all that, but I want you to understand this husband here is a king, he's a shepherd, he's our brother, he's Jesus. The wife here is talking about us. It's talking about us. And then, what the Lord bless us, guess why I had to do this? Dry it up like the Red Sea. If you have your Bibles with you, let's go to the 14th verse. I hope you see the beauty in this. It says, oh, my dove. And this is the husband talking about his wife. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, the reason we're going to heaven one day is because we are in the cleft of the main rock, Jesus Christ. We are in Christ. And then it says this, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. First of all, just let me tell you this, brothers and sisters. If you feel the Lord in your heart, you are a child of God. He's married to you. You're married to him. He's your husband. You're his wife. I'm going to tell you, y'all are one. It says, let man cleave unto his wife. That word cleave means cement. I'm going to tell you, natural marriage is a picture of the greatest marriage between Christ and his bride. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we don't act like we're cement whenever we get married here in this world. But I'm going to tell you, when the Lord cleaves, he's cement. And the reason I bring that out, brothers and sisters, there ain't no divorce with Christ Jesus. He loved you. He gave himself for you. And he's coming back to get you because you're his. Oh, isn't that beautiful? You're his. That's one thing that don't change in this world. God don't change. And you're going to heaven one day. Wow, isn't that glorious? Have y'all been sad today? There's coming a day you won't be. Have you been mad today? There's coming a day you won't be. Do you get mad because you're mad? You know, when I was growing up, I'm trying to verbalize this. I want us to understand the relief of sin. I want us to understand the relief. I want us to understand our belief system is not just a philosophy, it's a way of life. And it frees you up. Anyway, I won't go there, but I want you to get that. I'm going to tell you, understanding, embracing the Word of God, it will free you up. And putting it in the Word of God. But look what it says here. I want you, if the Lord blesses, I want you to pay attention to two things. This is Jesus. And the 14th verse, this is Jesus Christ talking. And I would normally use way more proof text to show you that this is God talking to us, this is Jesus talking to us. But as I said, abbreviated church service. But I want you to understand that. This is our husband, Jesus Christ, talking to us. And he's going to tell us some things that he likes. Brothers and sisters, whenever I was dating my wife, all I wanted to know was to find out some things that she liked. You know why? Because I wanted to make her happy. I love to see her smile. And you know what? You know what I found out quick that she really likes? Church. I'm going to tell you, if you want to make her the happiest, just take her to church. Just take her to church. She loves it. And y'all see it on her. But I want to tell you, brothers, we should want to please our spouses. Yeah. We should want to make them happy. And I'm going to tell you this. Brother James was talking to us, or I think it was Brother James, talking to us about Ephesians chapter 5 and how the husband should love his wife as Christ should love the church and gave himself for it. I'm going to tell you, if you are dating or courting or some type of what you want to call a relationship with a young lady and you're not willing to lay down your life for her, break it off. Because the duty of a husband is to lay down his life for his wife. That's the example that Jesus Christ gave. And I'm going to tell you, and if you're a young lady and you're dating or courting a relationship with somebody, whatever you want to call it, and he ain't going where you want to go, break it off. Because he is your head. Whenever you get married, he is your head. And if he's somewhere, you're going to be there. Marry a head that you can respect. The Bible says for the wife to reverence and respect her husband. It's so much easier to do that when you marry a respectable man. And I'm going to tell you, don't marry for beauty. I know there has to be some type of outward attraction. I get it. I dated other people that I wasn't outwardly attracted to, but just to see. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, don't marry for that. Marry somebody who is lovable. Don't marry a bitter person that can be put on a big, beautiful magazine. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible says for the husband to love his wife, it's a lot easier to love somebody who's lovable. And wife, be lovable. Husband, be respectable. Don't talk out of both ends of your mouth and wonder why your wife doesn't respect you. That makes sense. And if you love the church with all your heart and you can't picture yourself with somebody who doesn't love the Lord, don't date somebody who doesn't love the Lord. Why is that like a novel thing to say today? If you expect to raise your children in the church, you're going to have a conversation with the person you're about to get married to. You know? And if you're going to marry somebody who's not a Primitive Baptist, I'm not saying you can't do that. But if you believe that this is the truth, you need to tell them, this is where I'm bringing my kids up because I'm not taking them to learn error. I'm not putting them under the bondage of fear. You can thank me afterwards, Brother David. But look at what our husband, you want to know what Jesus Christ, our husband, wants from us? Or I hate to use that word, desires from us? Look what it says here in the 14th verse. This is talking about discipleship. This isn't relationship. I'm going to tell you, every child of God is always going to be a child of God. And when we're in heaven, we're going to have the fullness of that. Amen? Amen. Every bride of Christ, every person that's a part of the bride of Christ is always going to be a part of the bride of Christ. And we're going to be in heaven with him one day. But I'm telling you, I'm going to please my Lord here. Yeah. Look, there's so many times I'll get home. And Lydia, and something had happened. I was happy all day. I was getting kicked in the face by a little 2-year-old on a pediatric nurse, and it wasn't bothering me. And then, I get a text, or somebody calls me on the way home, and
just stirs up my mood. And I walk in the house, and Lydia has cleaned the house. The Lord has blessed us with a big house. And there's supper on the table. And she's like just waiting for me to just say, house is beautiful, supper smells great. That's simple, right? But I was spouting about something else. And all of a sudden, that smile like this turns into, I'm just going to put it in the refrigerator because you don't deserve to eat it hot, right? I didn't please her, and we ain't happy right now. I would a lot rather live with my wife, the person that I'm the closest to in this world, whenever she's pleased. I want to please her. I want her to be happy, because whenever she's happy, it's easier for me to get happy. Yeah. I mean, there's times where I'm down in the mud and I'm whatever, and she's like, just quit. Quit thinking about that. Which always help makes you quit thinking about it, right? But nevertheless, she helps. And she'll start singing to me. And she'll sit down and she'll say, let's read the Bible. That really happens. I want to make her happy. Because she makes me happy. But whenever I displease her, it's harder for us to be happy. Amen? Amen. I'm going to tell you, one of the most beautiful experiences you'll ever have in your discipleship life is pleasing your husband. Whenever you're having a really hard day, and you've been trying to please Jesus Christ, and you feel like you haven't gotten any closer, and all of a sudden, something just comes down from heaven and just gives you this peace, and you know it's from the Lord, because it couldn't be from anything else. You know how you get that? From striving to please your husband.
Amen.
Look what it says here. This is how we please. This is two of the ways we can please our husband. Look what it says in the 14th verse. Oh, my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 14. In the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. You know what he just said? Let me see your beauty. You know what our beauty is? Is our beauty our flesh? Is our beauty somebody saying, oh, he said that to me, let me tell him what's up? Is that our beauty? Eye for an eye, is that our beauty? Jealousy, is that our beauty? You know what our beauty is? Our beauty is putting on the righteousness of Christ. Our beauty is I'm going to tell you like this, how Paul says it over in Romans chapter 8. He says for us to mortify, kill the deeds of the flesh. I'm going to
see your beauty. I'm going to tell you, whenever we're enticed to sin, because we know that that is not our beauty, we need to strive and struggle against that sin and to put on the Spirit and to kill that flesh and make that living sacrifice, because that's what the Lord desires to see in us.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you, let our God, let our Jesus, let Him see our beauty.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff that Lydia knows I don't like to see her wear. And we'll be supposed to go out on a date. And I think she does it just to see on the same thing. And she'll have on that attire that I don't like. And finally I'll say, aren't we leaving? And then she'll smile and she'll go get it. Something else on. That's a little joke we have. But there's other times whenever I meet her somewhere after work, and she is all dolled up. She's got the stuff on that she knows I love to look at. There's this little throw that she puts on, makes her looks like she lived over in Japan for a little while, you know. And whenever I see her get out of the car, and she looks like that, she puts a smile on my face. And why does she do that? She knows I like it. She knows I like it. You see, she wants to please me. She knows I want to look at her countenance. My wife is beautiful. And I want to look upon that. And I'm going to tell you, you know what's precious in the sight of the Lord? Whenever His wife puts on the garments that He has given us to put on here in this world. And I'll just, and to go in this theme, and then we'll go to what really got on my mind. Go with me over to Luke 15 real quick. Thank you for the water and the napkins. I appreciate that. This is in the same vein. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep? Now remember, he's speaking this parable because some people are basically saying, these folks over here ain't worthy to eat with the Lord. You know, brothers and sisters, whenever we read parables like this, a lot of times people will take these parables and say, you see, you can't speak against sin because the Lord ate with sinners. Look, what you need to understand, for those sinners to eat with the Lord, they weren't sinning. They had left their way of life to come be with the Lord, if not just for a little while.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing wrong with saying sin is sin. How is somebody going to repent from sin if you don't tell them it's sin? But look what it says here. And he's speaking this parable because people are saying these other folks ain't good enough to be with the Lord. Because they're sinners. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And then he's going to tell us what this parable is talking about. I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Excuse me. He says, I say unto you, that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece,
doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she called her friends. She calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I'm not going to get into all these details because I just want to bring out one point that it pleases God. But one of the situations, this sheep had went astray. I believe that's there obviously talking about somebody who is living outside the church, somebody who is obviously somebody you can look at and tell they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And then the other one that was being looked for was a coin that was lost in the house. I believe that could be talking about a little child of God who is in the church of God as far as like on membership and coming to services. But you know what? There's some things that we need to be cleaning up in our lives. And if you're honest with ourselves, we all need some repentance in our lives, do we not? Yeah. We all need to be trying to get a little closer to the Lord. But my whole point is this. Look what it says in the end result. Both of these situations, whether you're living out in the world or you're a church member, both of these situations, whenever that person stopped doing the thing that was wrong, whatever it was in that situation, and started doing the right thing, whenever they repented, they both garnered the same response. And look what it was here. Look, it says that he called together his friends and neighbors. And this is a picture of how repentance pleases the Lord. He called together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Let me tell you, there ain't a just person in this world that don't need repentance. If you think you're a just person that doesn't need repentance, you're wrong. And that's part of the lesson here. These Pharisees thought they were righteous and they weren't. But I'm going to tell you, I want you to see the beauty here. Remember what I told you? The Lord said, let me see your countenance. Let me see your beauty. And I'm going to tell you, if you're out in the bars getting drunk, that ain't your beauty. If you're out in the world fornicating, that ain't your beauty. If you're out there smoking dope, that ain't your beauty. If you're not coming to the house of the Lord and you're seeking after other things to get filled up in that life, that ain't your beauty. But whenever you say, I've had enough of that, and I want to go back to my Father's house, you know what that is? That's your beauty. And you come into the house of God and you say, Lord, I'm unworthy. And you sit on that back pew. I'm going to tell you, I've heard people make fun of people when they first start coming to church, they sit on the back pew. The reason I sit on the back pew is because I didn't feel to be worthy to come up any closer. And that's a true thing. And I heard people say, oh, when folks say that, they really don't know. They really mean that. You can't tell me what somebody else feels just because you ain't never felt it. But I'm going to tell you, when somebody leaves that old slop yard out there and comes in here and tries to seek out the Lord and tries to put on the things of the new man that God has given us, I'm going to tell you, it said there is rejoicing in heaven. Dude, I think we just read over that so fast sometimes. You mean when Bob puts down the bottle and starts trying to be sober, that heaven is concerned with that? That's exactly what the Bible says. You mean when Sally Sue quit shacking up and starts coming to the house of God, that there's rejoicing in heaven? Amen. Amen. You know why? Because the Lord wants to see your countenance. And let's deal with that coin that's in the house. You mean when Brother Danny quits being self-righteous and talking about people that Jesus Christ died for, that there's rejoicing in heaven? You know why? And folks at Overville are tired of hearing this. The Lord doesn't call talking about people venting. The Lord doesn't call it getting real. The Lord doesn't call it bless their heart. You know what the Lord calls it? Biting and devouring one another. That's serious business. And whenever I quit biting and devouring one another,
rejoice in heaven.
Amen.
Whenever I see somebody in need in the house of God and I give to them, there's rejoicing in heaven. Whenever Danny starts reading the Bible more because he wants to be closer to his Lord, there's rejoicing in heaven. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters, heaven is concerned with you. I'm not saying that mom and daddy's looking down at you, but I'm saying God is.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it pleases our Lord whenever we put on that beauty, whenever we let him see that countenance. I'll move on a little bit. I don't even know what time I started. Go with me back to Song of Solomon chapter 2, and we'll deal with this second part, and we'll sit down. Thank you all for indulging me. 14th verse, Song of Solomon chapter 2. O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me see thy beauty, let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. That word comely means beautiful. The reason I want to kill this flesh and put on the new man and let the spirit shine and let that light shine is because whenever I do that, that is beautiful to my Lord and it's precious in his sight. But look what this second part says after the putting on the countenance. Look what the Lord says. This is the Lord asking us something. This is the Lord literally telling us to do something. Look what he says here. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice. I'm going to tell you, and let me back up a little bit because I had that sweetness. One of the things that's just like, I'm a visual person whenever I read the Bible. And over in Romans chapter 12, whenever it talks about making our bodies, beseeching us to make our bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, I used to love it when I started reading the Old Testament, and it talked about those Old Testament sacrifices being burnt on that offering, and it talked about the smoke and the savor going up into the nostrils of God as a sweet savor unto the Lord. And I would just think about that. Isn't that awesome? That they did what God told them to do, and he's just sitting there. It says that smoke of those sacrifices just went up into God's nose as a sweet, savoring smell. And I can just picture whenever those priests and those Old Testament saints would do what God told them to do, and he goes, that just smells good. And you know what the Bible says to here in the New Testament? We can offer our body as a living sacrifice. I know when I used to live with my folks, one of my favorite days was my birthday. Because I'd wake up and mama would be frying some chicken, be making some gumbo, and she'd be cooking some beignets. And I'd wake up to that dough frying in the pan with that sugar on top of that greasy hot dough. And I'm going to tell you what, and I'd wake up and I'd go, I was going to sleep an extra hour, but I'm getting up now because something smells good. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, whenever we make this body, whenever we commit this body as a living sacrifice, and we actually, brothers and sisters, it said that Daniel purposed in his heart. I'm going to tell you, the only way that we can get better and try to follow the Lord, we have to do it on purpose. And we need purpose with our heart to kill this old flesh and let the Spirit shine. There is always there. I'm not telling you how to get the Spirit. I'm just saying the way we let it shine through. And I'm going to tell you, whenever we do that, I can just see the Lord going, Daniel cooked me some brownies today. It smells good. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. Some people are like, yeah. And other people are like, brownies? What are you talking about?
But go with me back to Song of Solomon 2. Look what it says here. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. I thought about that this morning when we were singing to the Lord. The Lord says right there, let me hear your voice. For sweet is your voice. How can the Lord hear our voice? Brothers and sisters, whenever we talk to him, whenever we pray to him, the Lord told us that it is sweet. He says, David, brother, he says, let me hear your voice. So what does that mean I need to be doing? I need to be letting God hear my voice. Now I need to find out, how does God hear my voice? In prayer? And just communing with my Savior, my friend, amen, just talking to him. And also in thanksgiving. And also in singing. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, we don't pray enough. We need to wake up in the morning and just pray to our Lord. And before we start asking him for stuff, before we start giving him our anxieties and our stresses, we need to just thank our God. Oh, brothers and sisters, do we realize how good we've got it? I wish I could just paint y'all a picture of where I came from. So many times I got to try to paint it to remember how good God has been to me. Brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we take for granted what we got because we don't understand what peace we have in our life. Do you think the folks who came through the wilderness, who lived in the wilderness, and they got the Canaan's land, do you think that they appreciate Canaan's land more than the folks who were born in Canaan's land, the next generation? Yeah. Oh man, I bet there was no comparison.
Yeah.
Brothers, we are born in the Canaan's land, a lot of us. You don't understand what peace you got. Why would you go anywhere else? Brothers and sisters, we are not under the bondage of fear. Your pastor doesn't try to scare you to do good works by dangling you over the fire. I want to tell you, he comforts God's people. And you know what he says? If you want to feel the Lord, you draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to you. And we have the Holy Ghost coming down with the preaching of the truth. Where else could we go? Oh, we got so much to be thankful for. Brothers and sisters, you just think about all the things you've got, and then take them out of your life, in your mind. You'd be way more thankful. I'll give you a silly for instance. Brother Jarrett Hancock, he cuts like 5 different yards in Urbanville. He cuts his grandparents' yard, he cuts the church yard, he cuts some other folks' yard, I don't want to embarrass them, and he cuts my yard. I'm sure he cuts his daddy's yard, and he's been cutting my yard. But he just graduated, been really busy, and everything, graduation parties, sister's recital, this, that, and the third. I got a little push more. I got less than an acre. It ain't that big a deal, right? But it's South Georgia, and it's June, right? And I'm going to tell you what. Whenever Brother Jared cuts that grass in like 30 minutes with that zoom, 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 I see him on Sunday, and I say, Brother Jared, thank you. I appreciate you doing that. I'm going to tell you what. This past week, whenever he was so busy, I got out there, and it took me 3 hours to cut that grass. You know what I was doing the whole time? Lord, thank you for Brother Jared all the other time. Instead of saying, why ain't Jared out here, I'm saying, thank God for Brother Jared. You know what I'm saying? What's the line overs in your life that you're not being thankful for? How about a car that, how about a spouse that don't beat you? How about a spouse that loves you? How about a wife that's faithful? How about a spouse that you go to church with? How about parents who took you to church? How about a working husband? That the Bible says is the greatest institution on the face of this earth. How about Michael Green?
Amen.
Whenever I was a little kid, when I was a little young minister, and I wasn't married, and I felt like nobody loved me in this world, and him and his brothers and sisters would run up behind me in Arkansas and go, Brother Andy, Brother Andy. And I turn around and they go, you preach. And they'd run. Brothers and sisters, those things got me on my way until the Lord did bless me with his spouse. Be thankful for what we have. Last thing I want to get to is this. And let me show you this real quick, and then we'll end. Go with me to Hebrews 13. I did not plan to be this long. I do apologize. Hebrews 13. And as a preacher, having a fill-in, hallelujah, right? I mean, how many things to be thankful for? Hebrews 13 and 15. Look what it says here. 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The sacrifice of what? The sacrifice of praise. You know, I was watching, I like to watch podcasts about Navy SEALs, and there was this one Navy SEAL who had been an unbeliever, basically, but then the Lord touched him, changed his life. He's a Christian now. And he was talking about how it's so funny that as a Navy SEAL, he could bust up in a house. He'd be on his way to bust into a house knowing that there'd be 15 Taliban guys ready to kill him. And there was only two or three of the Navy SEAL guys busting in this house. And how that didn't give him a second thought. He wasn't scared of that. They just bust in there and do what they had to do. He said, but you know how hard it is just to pray with my wife sometimes? He says, you know how hard it is just to pray sometimes, just to thank God? That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, doing the right thing is hard sometimes. You don't believe me? Put your Bible in this hand, your cell phone in this hand, and see which one gets read first. Preacher's telling you it's probably going to be the cell phone. But look what it says here in the 15th verse. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What we say about those sacrifices, they're pleasing unto God. I'm going to tell you, it pleases God whenever we thank the Lord. Last point I'll make. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. I'm going to tell you, I have heard some beautiful singing today. I loved it. You know who loved it more? The Lord. You know why? The Lord commanded us to do it. He said, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. I don't care if you've been to singing school 722 times, or if you don't even know how to spell singing school, okay? Whenever you come to the house of God, you lifting your voice up in praise to God is sweet to him. He just said, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about you. I don't care if the person in front of you winces every time you hit those high notes and it is well with my soul. They can either move or get over it, okay? Because you ain't singing to them. You're singing to God. And I want to tell you what made me think about this verse is we were in church Sunday night at New Providence River Baptist Church there in Nevada, and I was sitting on the front pew, and I just had my eyes closed, and I want to tell you, it was about probably less than 20 of us, and I want to tell you, we were singing. I mean, we weren't singing, we were singing with the Spirit. I mean, I literally, whenever I got up behind the pulpit, it surprised me because I thought maybe 50 people had showed up. I mean, it sounded good. And I had my eyes closed and I just came back. And we were just singing. And all of a sudden it just hit me what we were really doing. And then it hit me like a lot of times whenever I sing to God, I don't realize what I'm really doing. And I started thinking, do we really realize or are we really thinking about what we're really doing right now? Are we just sitting back
loves to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. You don't think you can sing? The Lord loves to hear your voice. Sing more. And I'm going to tell you, it's precious to Him whenever you want to do something that you know you're not supposed to do, and you don't do it, you do the right thing. Let us show God our countenance, and let us lift up our voices to Him. I love you, and God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Dean. Thank you so much for your offering. We thank the Lord. Well, in line with Brother Danny's message, you have one more opportunity today, unless you find a meeting tonight. You have one more opportunity today to sing to the Lord. And we do. We reckon our singing does encourage each other here. We do speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. But ultimately, everything we do here is to His name. And that's wonderful, wonderful instruction about the sweet privilege we have of exalting He